This show is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron sends gourmet recipes and all the fresh ingredients you need to make them right to your door. Our listeners get their first two meals for free. Just go to blueapron.com/Joey and start cooking incredible meals at home with Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com/Joey. Show is also brought to you by MeUndies.com. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey right now to get 20% off of your first order, plus all orders in the U.S. and Canada always ship for free. MeUndies is the best and world's most comfortable underwear on the market. That's MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey right now to get 20% off of your first order, plus all shipping in the U.S. and Canada are free. And go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to get 10% off.
Lee, nice.
I'm fucked up.
I survived.
Here we go, motherfuckers. Church of what's happening now, November 26th, my 60th anniversary of being married to my wife. This is how we do it here. Greg Fitzsimmons in the house, my main Irishman, Lee Syatt. And here we go, we're all drugged up.
Bam, 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 full moon, bam, bam, full bam. Moon
is
tonight.
Is it tonight? Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Well, what? That's how you get a fucking party started. You know what I'm saying? You guys want to throw on fucking, you know, what's those?
Dave
Fall
Matthews
Out Boys.
Band.
Fucking Dave Matthews. I can't stand those motherfuckers rocking them on barefoot and shit. That shit drives me crazy. Those fucking... Get the fuck out of
yeah.
here.
Yeah. We got a black him guy and, playing banjo, barefoot. Yeah,
him and the fucking Fall Out Boys. They had the balls to say yesterday, we want to do our music before we become dinosaurs. Listen, these dinosaurs will take you and rip you apart, you fucking idiots. What's the last good song Fall Out Boy ever did? Do you know, Lee? Because I know you like that music.
I have no idea.
No, you don't be fucking lying to me. You went to see Hunger Games Part 2. You like that music.
It was a decent movie.
I know. I had to talk him into doing edibles.
You don't have to talk me. It was a Tuesday night.
I go, are you going to go straight? Yeah. And put up with that fucking nonsense? Straight? Go fucking eat some stars. And he fucking listened. Good man.
What's her name? Were you blasting one out to, what's her name, Jennifer?
Jennifer. She's hot.
She's hot, huh?
She's kind of crazy in these, though.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't really look sexy. You know who I saw a picture of is, what's her name? Fuck.
Jennifer Aniston.
No.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Sarah Silverman at the premiere of her movie. Do you see that picture? I didn't know she was so hot.
Oh, no. She dresses up. When she dresses up, it's like a whole different person.
I had never seen that before.
It's unbelievable.
Sarah Silverman's a good-looking little fucking
freak. She's beautiful.
Yeah, she always dresses
she's
down, and I'd never seen that.
She dresses down.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, what, her naked?
No, the pictures.
What fucking picture?
Put that down a little bit, buddy.
What picture?
At her premiere.
Whose premiere?
Sarah Silverman.
She's got a new movie out.
Oh, Sarah does.
Yeah, a little indie film.
Okay, I didn't know none of this shit. He's right. Talking about Hunger Games. Also, he's talking about
people
Sarah
are talking about Oscar nominations and
really?
Shit. Yeah, really good. She did a really good job.
You know, she's one of those people that's been around forever. She's like AIDS. She won't go away.
Can't stop it.
You know, she's been around with, you know, when I came to this town, she had just popped in something about Mary. Even though she was just sitting at a whole table listening, she was involved in that movie. Right. That was a great fucking movie. I laughed my ass off. But she won't go away. She's always stays relevant. You know, she always pops. She popped a great HBO special last year.
Yeah.
It wasn't as much as great as how she did it at Largo.
Yeah.
And all that type of stuff. So
she does it her own way. She's like Joey Diaz.
Well, how y'all she gonna do it? I got nobody, you know, I got nobody's way to do it. This is the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
What's up, Irish?
Good to see you, man.
Fucking Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Right? I've been holding out all week. I've been thinking about fucking pumpkin pie since like last Saturday. Like, by last Thursday, you're like, man, I can't hold out no more. I need a fucking piece of pumpkin pie. I'm smoking this high calorie.
I never got into the pumpkin thing.
That's my favorite thing in the world. Pumpkin
favorite
pie,
fucking thing in the world.
Little bit of whipped cream on top. Heat that motherfucker up. Oh.
And you know what? I hated pumpkin pie as a kid.
Yeah.
I liked, like, faggy colors, like boysenberry and apple. But when I went to Catholic school, I got stuck with a pumpkin pie once. Oh, my God. How fucking good are those?
Yeah.
And the cheaper, the better.
Right. Give me
like
that
one of those oven ones
Costco.
And you cut up. Oh, my fucking God. Lee, with some Cool Whip.
Cool Whip, not even real whipped cream?
No, 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 not Cool Whip. The real shit, the can.
Okay.
Real Whip. I don't fuck with Cool Whip, that tub of shit.
I'll go to a bodega and buy one of those little Entenmann's pies, the one the size of your fist. You pop it right out of there.
I've always wondered what those are, the little pie fillings?
They're little pie fillings.
It's just like a little mini pie that they have at 7-Eleven?
It's exactly a pie, but it's the size of your fist. And if you're between meals, you need a little pick-me-up, you grab yourself an Entenmann's pie, apple. They'll throw it in the microwave for you.
Really?
Pop it out of the tin thing, throw it in the microwave.
I've never ate one of those.
Yeah, it's great.
Entenmann's. I don't know what the fuck that is.
It's scary. Like
Entenmann's? You never heard of that?
Entenmann's I heard of. But they have little apple pie?
Yeah, every pie.
It's on the counter, like next to the... This is how fat I was. I know what you're talking about. And it's next to like those little donuts, but it's just like pie filling. And I was always too scared to get it. I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is. I didn't know if you had to bake it or something.
I've always been a Hostess apple pie type.
Really?
That was part of my game growing up. That's a quick filler. That's just nothing but pure sugar.
That's glazed, yeah.
It's glazed with a fucking can of Coke. Oh,
yeah, oh my God.
The dentist is cheering you on. The dentist is like, that's my boy. Shit. That's my motherfucker right there.
That's money in the bank.
Oh, my God. I love
you
those.
You see him unloading the truck out back, your dentist.
You know, now you eat that Hostess and it's fucking horrendous. That food is all horrendous. They've taken chemicals out. They've added chemicals in. Remember the Hostess cupcake? Just a plain chocolate with the little fucking thing.
Yeah, the little swirl.
The little swirl. They gave you like a little heavy little dot of fucking sperm in there.
Yeah.
Now they give you nothing. It's like some fucking little fag with the hip. Shoots a little gun in there with a little fucking little. You got to eat 10 pounds of chocolate to get to a little fucking hippie sperm.
It's one drop.
Yeah, it's
used
one
to be the
drop.
Whole load.
You get the whole fucking load of sperm in there from the guy at the factory. Now nothing. Some skinny guy coughing who eats egg whites.
It used to be like a guy, a diabetic, blew a hot thick one inside
a hot
cupcake.
Fucking tremendous. Those things were, you know, when you from the East Coast, you grow up on those things, and everybody's different. I think like South Jersey has tasty cakes in Philadelphia. Up by me, I was more of a, what did I like? I liked the...
Ring dings? Rest of the country called them ding dongs. We call them ring dings.
I'm a devil dog type of motherfucker.
Devil dog.
But my all-time favorite was the yo-yos. The chocolate with the cream filled up like that, and you got two in a package, and then they got dipped in chocolate to boot. That's diabetics right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another one, the dentist is right there tapping you on the back, giving you the seal of approval.
Give me a Twinkie. You take the cellophane off, the little top gets stuck on it. You get to scrape that off with your teeth. They tried to stop making Twinkies, and people lost their shit. They picketed. They protested. They wrote letters. They brought it back.
Twinkies. I got hooked on Twinkies one night. Twinkies was the first sugar buzz I had because my mom, I would go to my mom and go, Mom, I'm going on a school trip. And instead of just buying me two Twinkies, she'd buy me a box and say, share them with your friends. Fuck you. Fuck you.
You would hoard the snacks?
Listen, I would start eating those Twinkies at 11 o'clock at night the night before the Odd Couple. I remember the first all-nighter I pulled on Twinkies. One all-nighter on Twinkies. Yeah. And instead of snorting like, when you do blow, you do like blow every 20 minutes when you pull an all-nighter.
Yeah.
Shit. Guys, this is the funniest fucking story of all time. I pulled an all-nighter on Twinkies one night. Before we went to Philadelphia and where Betsy Ross did the fucking letter.
Yeah.
Where she
the
made
letter?
Where she made the flag.
The
whatever
flag.
The fuck.
Yeah.
And we went to see the Nutcracker Suite. My mother bought a box of those, a box of something else, and a box of something else. And it was the first addictive personality that I ever showed. I did not know it then. I thought about it years later, how I kept watching them. You know, I started with the Odd Couple. The Honeymoons, let me eat another Twinkie. Then the Twilight Zone. I got to have a Twinkie for the Twilight Zone. And this time I'm going to get two and some milk to dilute them.
It's a 1 hour.
Yeah, it's a 1 hour. You got to get two. And then at one, I watched something else. I had HBO when I was a kid, so I watched something else.
Yeah.
You know, HBO was brand new.
Oh, and HBO late at night,
HBO
they crank one out.
Brand new. In the late movie when I was a young man, seven, when that happened, not when I was seven. When that happened, I was in the eighth grade, so I'm talking about 78. The hot movie at the time they kept playing that you'd whack off to was Kentucky Fried Movie or The Groove Tube. The Groove Tube had a chick that ran across naked with her titties,
right.
And you had that big box with three levels, And that's how you got channels in those days. Yeah. So each one had 1 to 7, 7 to 21, and 21 to...
That's right.
That was it, guys. That was cable fucking TV. Yep. And it had a string connected to the TV. So you had... Let's say that that's a TV. You had a string with a box on it, and then it had, like, levels. So you had 0 to 7, 7 to 14, and 14 to 21. Right. Fucking tremendous.
And HBO was 18.
HBO was 18, and you could press it. That's how you did it. You pressed the fucking HBO, and you got all excited. And nobody was around. And that's the first thing I fucking whacked it was that group.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I remember being 6 in the morning and still eating those Twinkies and being jazzed up and not knowing what's going on in your life. Like, just being jazzed up and going, why do I feel this way?
Right.
And being awake the whole fucking day. And years later, one night I'm sitting there talking to somebody, and they're like, yeah, remember that trip? And I'm like, yeah. The night before was the most interesting night of my life because I stayed up all night eating Twinkies. They're like, fuck yeah, you did. If you ate the whole box of Twinkies, that'll keep you up all fucking night at that age.
Yeah.
Getting coked up on Twinkies.
Like sucking a dick one after the other. Little brown Twinkie dicks.
And ever since that time, you know what? If I'm high and I got to eat a Twinkie, I'll eat it. But I think since that eighth grade, I think I've had 2 Twinkies.
Yeah.
In 50 years, 40 years.
You had your quota.
2 seconds.
What's that?
I have to unplug and plug his mic back in.
Okay, me too?
For you too? I think it's just him, but we'll check.
All right. No, something's going on here. Last week we had the echoes, so we just want to double check for you people at home and shit like that.
No, it's just...
There you go. Pop that back in. Boom. Fuck it. Check, check, check.
Check, check. Now we got
nothing. Nothing at all. Oh, wait. There we go.
There you go. There you go, Lisa. In. Yeah, you're slipping, cocksucker.
Oh, it just happened.
Okay. By right.
Go ahead.
But those are the I don't know. That's... What else did you remember growing up in Boston? Were you in
New York. I grew up in New York.
And what were you eating as a child after you left? Because you always ate something at home.
Right.
But then once you were halfway home, if you were a fat fuck, those marshmallow pies.
There was these candy bars. They were called the Marathon Bar. And it was like... It was strings of caramel covered in chocolate and then twisted into a braid, and you took a bite of that and your salivary glands opened up like the Hoover Dam. It just, your saliva attacked this piece of chocolate heaven, and you chewed the fuck out of it because it wasn't like the new caramel where it's goo and slides down your throat. This was caramel you had to earn. You wear out your jaw chewing on this shit, and the chocolate is mixing in with it, and the saliva is mixed in, and you swallow it, and you got to take a break before the next bite. You got to give your jaws a couple seconds between sets, and they take another bite, and that's a workout. That was a good 15, 20 minutes to eat the Marathon Bar.
Do you guys ever have Whoopie Pies? Whoopie Pies are the best. Those are still my favorite.
Those. So, you know that thing, those chocolate caramel, that's a good training thing for young cocksuckers. Like when they're 18, you get them into the festivals, and before you can get anybody, you got to suck on these for a month. So you really get good jaw. No, but I'm ready to suck a dick. No, you're not.
No,
trust
you're not.
Me.
No. It's a sucking a dick is a marathon.
It's a complete different situation. You just been blowing fucking guys in high school. We're taking them to the major leagues. We're trying to get the big 200 out of these guys.
High school, they couldn't believe their dick was in a mouth.
There was no effort. I never even got a blowjob in high school.
From a girl?
Never even thought of it. From anything. Nothing. I never would even consider a woman giving me a blowjob. Never.
Because they're all good Catholic girls.
I never thought I'd have the balls, A, to ask a woman. B, if I heard a woman suck dick, I would avoid her like the fucking plague in those days. I don't know what it was. Like, I never thought ever. If I have to think back to my first blowjob, it's got to be about 19. I was working security for a guy, Louis Donato, in a massage parlor up on 91st Street and fucking Kennedy Boulevard up there. Louis Donato was his half-wannabe fucking mobster guy that talked a big game. So he had a couple girls, and he had like 4 shifts, 4 different guys at different times. And we were all friends.
And you guys were security for 2 whores.
I could get beat up any time in those days. There was like 4 whores in there. And one night on a Saturday, he goes, hey, man, I'll give you $50 and pick one of the girls to blow you. And I picked this redhead, and I was fucking shitting my pants. Like, I was just shitting my pants. I still remember going in that room and just being like, I didn't know what to expect. And I'll never forget, she took a piece of gum out of her mouth and put it on the fucking table before she blew me. It was the most impersonal thing to her. It was the most impersonal situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that was my 10th blowjob, I could feel it. But in the back of your mind, you always think your first blowjob is going to be this fucking thing with angels and birds are getting shot out into the sky.
Yeah.
You hear voices. That never did. That shit never happened for me. You know, it was like.
My first blowjob was just the opposite. It was this tremendous. Girl, Linda, and she was a great girl, but she'd been around town. You know, she was confident, big tits. She called them Pride and Joy. And she said to me for my 16th birthday, she was going to give me the best blowjob I would ever have in my life. And she came over to my house. Parents were out. It's April. It's a nice spring day. I remember the windows open, little breeze coming in. Linda comes up to my room and she takes my pants down herself. I try to take them off. She stops me. She takes them off. Then she takes the underwear off. And then she works it. And I mean, I didn't know that a blowjob included ball licking, that was an option. I didn't know that it circled. I didn't know that there was two hands could be cranked on the base, a decent size. And she worked it, and there was eye contact. There was intent eye contact throughout, checking in. She wanted to know how I was doing every second.
I'd be so fucking embarrassed.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Post-coital. I cuddled with her after the blowjob. And I feel for you, Joey, that had to be your first blowjob.
I got to ask you something. Where is she today?
She has kids, and she lives a couple towns over from where we grew up. I think she did well. I think she married well.
You still keep in touch with her from time to time? Send her a little Facebook. It's always good to hit one of those freaks on Facebook and give them like a little reminder.
Yeah.
I have one I'm working now, not because I want to sleep with her, just because she was such a savage and such an animal.
Yeah.
And now she's got a kid, but I want to remind her that she's such an animal. So I post this New Jersey. First of all, the last time I had seen this girl was when Doug Flutie threw the touchdown.
Okay.
And it was just a horror show. I robbed Louie Donato. At this time, she was Louie's boss. She was Louie's, nanny. And I saw her at Corky's, and this bitch had a body. They called her Laurie Jack because they said, you know, in those days, she's got the jack.
Yeah.
Everybody said she had some. AC/DC wrote a song called She's Got the Jack, which implied she had, like, AIDS. Not AIDS at that time, but, like,
gonorrhea, chlamydia.
Gonorrhea, chlamydia, and all that. No, there wasn't even chlamydia in 79. In 79, it was just syphilis. And something came out of your dick.
Yeah.
That's it. All of a sudden, over the years, they've added all these dimensions and names to throw you off.
Yeah.
It all started with funk. The head of your dick swells up. Blood comes out. You know what I'm saying? Your nuts are purple.
You go crazy.
Yeah.
The good ones go crazy.
Oh, my God. You sit there and go, what did I fuck? What type of animal did I fuck? What planet is she from?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. Knock on wood. I can be honest on this show. It never happened to me. I just had
Shut up.
I had crabs. I've gotten
That's
crabs.
Nothing.
And then I was fucking around with these dirty college girls. When you mess around with college girls, bro, you're always going to get something.
You're foot fucking fungus. The whole campus.
Yeah, you get foot fungus, something. I had this little leakage coming out of my helmet.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that both of them, like when I was sleeping with one for a while and then she moved and I started sleeping with the other one, both of them had this like white leakage from their little monkey. It was chlamydia, but I wasn't going to embarrass them and tell them. I just kept wiped it and kept eating that ass. You know what I mean? This has got nothing to do with Uncle Joey.
It's like finding a hair in your hamburger.
Yeah, who gives
get rid
a
of it,
fuck.
Keep eating that shit.
You know, people send the hamburger back.
Come on.
Before you send them hamburger back, think back of how many assholes you licked. Right or wrong. You ever get these motherfuckers? Oh, there was hair in my food. Come here, let me talk to you about something. You take the hair out and you proceed. You're going to send the sandwich back, and now they're going to spit in it. You know, because that's what you do when somebody says, there's a hair in your food. Really?
Hey, what's wrong with hair?
Well, let me put a fucking Coke's nut from Tuesday in that motherfucker. Wait till you crunch into that and think it's a grape.
I got a hemorrhoid.
Oh,
I'm going to rub the hemorrhoid on your French fry.
Not even. You squeeze the hemorrhoid and you get that hemorrhoid juice. It's like that black fucking tar. It comes out. They think it's Romelade sauce. These fucking jerk fucking Gentiles. But that shit drives me crazy when people act like that. Oh, well, you know, they'll stop.
Yeah.
You fucking assholes.
No, and I don't even like the guy that has them pour a half a glass of wine. Pour the fucking wine and drink the wine. What are you going to drink? You gonna take a sip from half a glass and swish it around and then say no?
I'm sorry about
Caesar wants you. Caesar wants you to bring forth another glass of wine. Fuck you.
I gotta tell you guys.
You know what? My mom bought some wine this week. She's out for Thanksgiving. She went to Ralph's and bought some wine. And next night I come home and I go, Mom, what do you get 5 ice cubes in your wine for? She goes, it's shit wine. And it's like, buy another fucking bottle of wine. She's like, nah, finish this one.
Club W. But here's the crazy thing. That culture never was sold to me. Okay, Lee, you're a very young man. My man, Irish, is younger than I am. I came from a culture, family affair, courtship of Eddie's father, Room 222, Combat, you know, all those shows. When men had a conversation in the 60s and 70s, Lee, in the early late 60s and 70s, on television, on CBS, NBC, or ABC, when two men had a conversation, there was always a bottle on the table with no label on it. There was a bucket with ice cubes with a prong. And as soon as two men walked in a room, what are we going to do about the Diaz situation? Well, the first thing I did in the late 60s and early 70s was to turn around, okay, without even eye contact, without offering. You didn't even offer in this time in the United States. You turned around, you took two glasses, you put an ice cube in each, right on TV while the camera was rolling. And he was saying his stupid fucking lines about how the world's going to end and if the Russians don't go out to the fallout shelter. And they'd always pour from a bottle, which you assume was whiskey, correct?
Always.
Do you remember this as a young man?
Yeah, something brown.
And they
something
gave caramel. It to everybody, and everybody, they didn't go cheers or salute. Or, yeah. They just drank it, and they discussed their situation. And throughout the show, drinking was always acceptable.
Yeah.
As a young man, for me, that made my dick hard. My mom had a bar. You know what? Next week when I go down there, I'm going to get a fucking drink with an ice cube.
Now, how old are you at this point?
5, 6. You know me, dog.
Yeah, it looks cool. I understand.
It looks fucking tremendously cool. Yeah. What kid doesn't look at that and go, I can't wait to be fucking 18 to do that, to drink a fucking shot.
I remember being a kid, we had these shrimp cocktail glasses. My parents would buy a 6-pack of shrimp cocktails from the A&P, right? Remember those?
And then you wash them out, you kept the glasses.
You wash them out and you keep the glasses. And it's about the size of a scotch glass. So I remember me and my brothers just, we put one ice cube in, we put some Coca-Cola on top, and we'd walk around the house like we were in fucking Mad Men.
No shit.
Sipping it, you know, and then we'd roll up pieces of paper. My dad smoked 3.5 packs a day. We'd roll up pieces of paper, we'd dangle them out of our mouths, and we'd drink Coke with an ice cube.
There you go, America. So you were, I don't know, it was like alcoholism was acceptable. Okay, whatever. Now, my mom had a bar. I got drunk one time, shit my pants. They found me in the closet. That was the end of my alcoholism career. Did you know that?
That was it?
That was it. My mom had a thing. Before she'd go to bed, she'd do a little shot of wine. I scoped the fucking red Italian wine. Once she fell asleep, I went. I drank the whole bottle of wine. My mom got up. Jose Antonio. She dialed 911. The cops came. They found me in a closet, puked shit all over the place.
How old were you?
4, 5. That was the end of my alcoholism career, right? That's it.
You no shit more. Your pants.
Everything. There was shit on my feet. They had to put me in the tub. I slept for 2 days. You know, it's always been a fucking disaster.
And that was it? And you never drank since?
No, I've tried Jack. I loved everything. Then when you do cocaine, you know, it's like an Indian without gin.
Yeah.
You know, a line of coke requires alcoholism. Yeah. So I did that. But when I became 18, something really weird happened. I started hanging out with people that thought they were Johnny Bananas. I had a friend that if he drank a whiskey, he had to have a certain glass. And that shit never bought it to me. Then I went out to dinner with the Holloways. The Holloways were the badass Irish-German family.
There you go.
I speak to Timmy every 2 days. In fact, he's a truck driver. He listens, and he'll remember this. When we graduated high school, Mr. Holloway took us out to dinner. Can't remember the place in Hoboken. We're all fucking sitting there eating. And Mr. Holloway orders a bottle of dinner. Mr. Holloway liked a few drinks, but he had a rule. Boys, you come to my house, you can eat every day, you can curse in my house, you can watch sports, can't drink in my house.
That was our rule. Can't Both my parents, huge drinkers. You didn't drink in the house.
Do me that favor. Respect that. Right. You know, we'd go, every time we went anywhere, we'd always stop at Mr. Holloway's house and get tuned up. He would get more money. The best was one night Mr. Holloway was on the couch sleeping years later. And we come in at 3 in the morning. We're making sandwiches to go into a disco in the city. And as we walk past him, Mr. Holloway turns on. He goes, what, to go? You know, I mean, we used to torment them.
Yeah.
But I forget the fucking story I was going to tell you. Who the fuck knows? Well,
we're talking about those, you know, shrimp cocktail glasses. And we were talking about.
And we went to dinner, and all of a sudden, some guy comes by and he goes, you know, excuse me, Caviar Sauvignon Blanc 68. And, you know, and all of a sudden he opens the bottle, and he's got like a thing, and he fucking, I think he drinks a little, and he spits down it. And I'll never forget, he goes to Mrs. Holloway, and he goes to Mr. Holloway, and he gets to Roger, and little Roger's crazy. We're crazy at the time. We're fucking crazy. Little Roger looks at him and goes, give me the fucking bottle. Just give me the fucking bottle. And that was the end of that in my life. I knew that I wasn't the only one who thought that way.
Right.
A glass is a glass.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what glass. I don't need a fucking wine glass and the whole fucking serenade with the sweater on my shoulders to have a fucking drink of wine, all right? I know people who are broke that fucking drink wine out of a bottle and have a great time. Have a fucking great time with
them. Same alcohol content.
Same alcohol. I never understood the whole glassware.
Yeah.
The whole thing. When I've snorted coke, I've drank fucking gasoline. Out of a rock glass. It don't matter.
No, I mean, you got an ass hair on your hamburger or some wine that tastes a little bit fruity. Suck it up and don't waste everybody's fucking time. We're trying to go out. We're trying to get this done so we can do the next thing. We can't do the next thing if you're sending fucking 1 ounce little sifters of wine back. I won't have it. I won't have it. I don't even care if my shit is too raw. I eat around it. It's always just that one little red chunk in the middle of your steak, so you eat around it. Eat everything else, but don't send it back.
That shit embarrasses me to no end. You know what I do when the food sucks?
What?
I pay the bill, I get up and I leave.
Yeah.
And I make a mental note. I get in the car and I call this fucking dude, and I tell him, don't go there, the food sucks. Well, I went there last Tuesday. Get the fuck, it the fucking suck. It tastes like gas.
Did he say tastes like gas or tastes like ass?
Ass. You know,
I'm not even sure which place you're talking about.
Any fucking place. I'm just saying. I mean, that's the first thing you do. I'm not going to sit there and argue with you and go back and forth, you know, right or wrong.
I'm in Indianapolis recently, shit in the bed at some club in the suburbs. Nobody's coming. It's like I've got the HIV. And so I'm miserable all weekend. And then I go, you know, it's Saturday night in between shows. I'm going to go next door. They got a sushi restaurant. I'm going to get a nice plate of sushi, cheer up a little bit, spend a few bucks, live. So I go there between shows and I get some miso soup and some sushi. Miso soup comes out. It's ice cold. It's as salty as a cum shot from a guy that just walked 40 days in the desert.
Oh, no.
Then I get and so I don't eat it. And then all of a sudden they bring the sushi and it's like it had been smoked. Like the corners of the fish were dry and curled back. It had been sitting there for days. Meanwhile, the waiter recognized me. So I walk in, he goes, Greg Fitzsimmons, holy shit. He goes, I'm going to take great care of you. It's like, if you want to take care of me, get some fucking takeout from another restaurant because this shit is poison. So he puts it in front of me, and I don't want to be a douche because he recognized me. So I gave him a big fucking tip. And like you said, I just walked out. I wasn't going to eat that shit.
First of all, shame on you for going to a sushi place next door to Indianapolis. I mean, how many fucking people left Hiroshima to go to Indianapolis, okay? You know, so shame on you. It's like you don't leave Auschwitz to move to Iowa to open a bagel shop. You've already been in torture for 40 fucking years. You know what I'm saying? You leave Auschwitz to go to New York and get the party started.
How the fuck did you connect those two thoughts?
Because I've been smoking weed to take this morning. It doesn't matter.
That was a fucking World War II thought. These bagels are good. Yeah, my family's all dead. Enjoy it. I hope the bagel cheers you up.
Tremendous. Happy Thanksgiving, motherfuckers. This is what life is all about. Just sometimes just getting a stupid laugh, man. And this guy's over there humming like a cat. The fuck is wrong with you in the corner? Just humming like a cat.
How many milligrams?
Oh my god!
I fucking inhaler thing. You gave me like 18. Who fucking... gives
a, and it's time for another inhaler. This inhaler brought to you by asthma.
Boy, they can't stop thinking of ways to get fucking pot in your system.
Anybody else?
No, no. You wipe it in your nose. You drop it in your eye. Has anybody come up with the eye drops yet? That's got to be next.
That's next.
The cannabis eye drops.
I'm sure they have them.
I got to hit acid here if you want to take it home for later to go.
Right, I'm good. Thanks.
Right there. It's right down that little doorknob.
Look at you.
And I got three hidden up there.
Well, don't tell them where they're hidden.
Well, I'm not going to tell nobody where they are. They got to come here with the dog.
Good acid. Luck. That feels like 1979, man.
That's where
you're bringing
I live.
It back?
Listen, man. In the words of Public Enemy, if you don't know about your past, you don't know your future. Gotta take your head of acid from time to time and take you back there just to dibble a little bit.
All right. What do you do once you take the acid? You gotta stay indoors.
We stayed here and we did a podcast with me and Lee and Ari Shaffir. Eddie Bravo came to mediate. He didn't get high and we just giggled here like five assholes.
You three took the acid though?
For 5 hours. Just
five? No, you did. A 5-hour podcast?
We did a 3-hour podcast.
2.5, yeah.
2.5, come three. On, yeah. And then we were fucking, we sat here for an hour after that just sweating and.
Sweating.
Giggling and.
Yeah.
Didn't I send you the video of the Mexican guy taking his clothes off?
No.
Come on. So we're here. I called Duncan. You know, Duncan likes drugs. I called Duncan. I go, Duncan, you want to come to the park to do that? I say, I can't. You know, I have other plans. Okay, no worries. You don't have to fucking come. So I call Ari. Ari was going to come anyway. I just want to have a couple people. So Duncan sits at home and he's watching this fucking podcast. In the middle of the podcast, he decides to send me this fucking. Now, we're 2 hours in. We're burning.
Was this last week?
This is about a month, 6 weeks ago. Yeah. We're burning. Look at Greg. He won't even touch the phone. He's like, I don't want to touch it.
Look at that marshmallow body. Holy, I feel good about my body right now. Oh, don't do it. Oh, Christ. Holy Christ.
Now, Greg, you're sitting there 2 hours burning on acid by yourself.
It's like Bobby Lee the Mexican.
I'm going to send you this. How's that?
Yeah, please. Please.
Show this to your mom tomorrow. Everybody's sitting around, show this to them on Thanksgiving Day.
You know what I'm thankful
Happy
for, Mom?
Careful.
Here's what I'm thankful for, Mom. This gentleman right here who has no body shame, and yet we all have body shame for him.
He doesn't give a fuck. He taped that. He probably put that on a dating service.
Yeah.
And sent that out to them. So let's give
you
it a whiz.
You got any replies?
Oh, I would reply just to stab him.
Yeah.
Right or wrong. I'd take him to a secluded place. Like if I was single and gay and crazy and I'm just living life by the seat of my pants, oh, he's a goner. He's a goner. He's just like, I'm like, what's that guy on TV that was killing people and then Clexter, Leg Dexter?
You immediately became a gay serial killer.
Why not? Think about it. If I'm fucking gay and I'm part of a fucking date gate in sight.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting at home, I had a bad week, and I can't find the job. My last date, the guy wouldn't suck my dick. He gave us a good piece of ass, but he gave a bad blow job. You know, I'm sitting there. I'm gayer as fuck. I'm at home watching something on Netflix.
Getting worked up.
Go TV. And this guy pops up on your screen.
Yeah.
You just got to think about this. As soon as this video ends, first thought that comes to your mind is, how many bullets do I have? Do I have a rubber sheet? This is going to be fun.
No,
this is fun.
Do I have to go to Mexico for this? Or is
no, this guy lives in Sherman Oaks. Right. I guarantee this guy lives in Pacoima. This guy lives right under your nose. You see this guy when you go to rob some wave at him.
Yeah.
He's behind the counter. He's lonely. He's just looking for another hemophiliac. What's he? He didn't have a dick. He didn't have a pussy. What do you call those people?
Hemophilia. You mean hermaphrodite?
Hermaphrodite. Same fucking
hemophilia. That means you can't stop bleeding. That means you're going to stab him once. You can walk away.
What happened to those people? Remember when we were kids? They always
there's
had
no answer. More. No, there's no more hemophilia. They're gone.
Yeah, they disappeared. See, people, things change. What happened to the hemophilia?
Hemophilia was... you know, I think people started saying homophilia, and they changed it. It became gay guys that bleed a lot. That was my joke.
That's terrible.
Now you're gonna you want to edit that out, Lee?
No, fuck no. Leave it in. I like that.
Oh, you just sent me the video. I can't wait to watch it.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical. That is. That's what I'm saying. That could be any guy that put. They probably got that from a dating site.
Yeah.
That's a dating site in Mexico video.
All right.
You're at home in Mexico. You could kill some people.
Absolutely.
You get that in the thing. You think to yourself, I got the car. I got the drop cloth.
Uh-huh.
I got everything.
Yeah. If you could kill somebody, how would you do it?
It just depends what they did.
Yeah.
Like, it depends what they did. I have evil thoughts that run through my mind. You know, I really do. Yeah, we all do. We all are mad at one or two people that we think
disrespected us.
Disrespected themselves because they fucked with us.
Yeah.
You know, and it crosses you. When I was a kid, I wanted to ice my stepdad in the worst way. And I was going to get really good with weapons, and my plan was, my genius plan was to hide under a car and pop out and shoot him. And then, you know, I was always good with escape routes. You'd be surprised.
Escape routes?
Like how to get out of a situation. Like if you shoot somebody here, you're not, you know, you're going to fucking look around this area for a while. You're going to see, but today you have drones. You have Google Map. You have all these things that they could go back. I could go back and see if you ever walked in that neighborhood a year ago. Do you know that, Lee?
Yeah.
That's reality. I could really go back. It costs money. It's going to cost you money. We were talking about this last week. 2 months ago at the Comedy Store, kids sitting at the door, busy Sunset fucking Boulevard, okay? Kid walks up to him, 10 to 1, takes out a gun and shoots him 7 times, runs down the hill, gets in a car. They've never heard or seen from the guy. Who watched a documentary? It's been on all week. It's a brand new documentary. I watched bits and pieces. The Tupac Biggie murders.
March the Penguins?
No, the Tupac Biggie murders. How the guy came, how they get.
Oh, I got to see that.
There was a Southside Crip that it was definitely fucking Biggie's. It was definitely Puff Daddy that put the order out.
That's what the movie says?
And this documentary has the Southside Crips. $1 million bounty. The bounty got put at Gold Blots right next to the Laugh Factory.
Right.
That's what they would eat in those days, at Gold Blots, Green Blots, whatever the
Green Blots.
Name of it. And listen, right now there's 2 murders. Take a look at that. You have to be a fucking moron if you're going to murder somebody. Number one, look at all the people that get caught. You know how come they get caught? Because they tell somebody or they have 2 or 3 people involved. You're going to ice somebody, you got to ice them yourself. And the ices that we've seen, look at the fucking best ices that you see. Look at this thing at the Comedy Store. 16, 15 people on a patio, cops on La Cienega. When people hear bullets, they go crazy. They don't see. You don't see no more.
And there was no camera out
there. No camera. Even with the fucking camera. I got a hood on with my thing around me. It's tough now, guys. It's fucking tough.
Yeah, you
got
to do it
right.
Don't
get me wrong. Look at they got the .44 caliber killer with a fucking ticket.
Yeah.
You do make mistakes with a fucking a parking ticket. But look at all these mob guys. What do you think? They're physicists? These guys shot people every night,
put
them in the trunk of a car, took them to a fucking deserted place, buried them, put lye on them, make the body disappear quicker. And they built construct. These people, you know, for every 300 murders, Sammy the Bull said that they were out there. There's another 300%. 100 people that are out there that nobody ever knew about went missing. They went playing cards one night, got into it with some asshole, like the guy that played Tommy in Goodfellas, that just pull a gun out and shoot you, and everybody's scared of you in the room now, and now they make a big scene. They put you in a tablecloth, and that shit happened.
Totally random.
That shit happened, and so you have to think about how you would do it, the person.
But how would you do it? No, but in terms of enjoyment for you, What would feel best to you?
There's only one person in the God's eye that I would like to chop into fucking pieces.
That's how you do it. Chop them up.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. There's some people that you shoot in the fucking head.
Yeah.
Because they deserve to get shot in the head. There's some people that you shoot in the asshole and watch them.
Upwards, you upwards, put it straight up.
And you watch them live for 4 hours, giggling for their fucking life.
You get shot in the asshole, you giggle?
With a fucking .32, you get shot up the ass, nothing to blow their heads off or nothing. Just something to keep that hot bullet in their asshole.
Do you put the gun up the asshole?
Just a little bit.
Just a
little bit.
Just the crown.
You put a condom on the fucking gun to make sure this guy's not a freak. You don't want your gun with the HIV. You know what I'm saying? You don't want a gun with the HIV. You can't get rid of that guy.
Safe killing. You got to do safe killing.
So
that's your favorite gun.
But I figure if under God's eye, if anything ever bad happened to me in my life, you'd have to realize that this is the way I'd want to go out.
Yeah.
As I'd go grab that fucking person. First of all, there'd be documentation. Okay, there'd have to be documentation because I have to make too many moves. I would scope them out for a few days. I would get really fucking hungry and angry. I would probably pick them off the fucking street and have a cave predetermined on apartment and just gag them and start the process.
Like the whole, like, what was that? Like
Pulp Fiction?
That Gerard Butler movie? A citizen. What was that movie he did?
A ball in the mouth, duct taped.
Oh, Jesus.
Duct taped hands. And first I start with punches for like an hour.
Yeah.
An hour?
For like an hour. I just get a workout out of him. First of all, I'll go to the pharmacy and get a couple IVs to keep him alive for a few fucking days.
That's nice of you.
He's not going to be able to eat because you knocked all his teeth out.
Huh?
He's not going to be able to chew.
No, let them have teeth.
Got to go IV.
Let them have teeth.
Yeah.
And you just punch them for an hour, and then you hit them with sticks.
Oh, my God.
Then you rock them to death for a little while.
What's that?
You rock them like, Iran.
Like Iran. Then you kick them again.
Where's the tar?
But you keep them alive. That's the whole. You want them to suffer like you did.
Yeah.
You
know?
Then you torment them. You eat a few sandwiches in front of them.
Maybe some Twinkies,
you
devil
really
dog.
You torment somebody, you put a fucking gun up their pussy or a gun in their dick and play with them and ask them questions. How's that feel? That feel any fucking good to you now? And then after about 12 hours of that mental torture is when you really start this shit. Then I go into Iceman mode.
Yeah.
That's where I just take a razor blade and start doing little paper cuts everywhere just for about 2 hours. I'd probably faint 2 times because I can't see blood, so I gotta come back. Yeah. This is why this is just a fantasy, ladies and gentlemen, because I'd be fainting by now.
It's fucked up.
But after I'd fucking chop them up with that razor blade for about 2 or 3 hours, I'd rub that Jew salt on them, that sea salt. I'd rub them in sea salt like a chicken cutlet. You understand me? I'd roll them in that sea salt, and there's no worse pain than that, guys. Then if they were a woman, I'd take a razor blade and slit their clit one by one. And make them fucking eat it, and then put more Jew salt on that shit. And then,
wow,
I'd kick them again, ask them questions. You know, by that time I'd be crying because all the pain that they inflicted on me is finally coming out of me.
Yeah. It's cathartic.
For a human to do something like this, he has to know in the back of my mind while I'm doing this, I'm going to get caught. But it's going to be well worth it. I'm going to go out of this world with that pain. That person got to see it. And that, to throw more salt on them, then I start on their genital parts.
Yeah.
Then I start carving out their assholes, you know, taking their nose off, more salt.
The thing about an asshole is the more you cut it out, the bigger the asshole gets.
Yeah, no. And then I take the .32, pow, pop the gun up there, pow. And that's when you just leave them there to gurgle for fucking 4 hours.
You don't want
to
see that part.
Looking like a fucking chicken cutlet. And you hang them upside down so the blood leaks out of their fucking earlobes. And that's it. That's how you do somebody who did something bad to your family, did something bad to you, did something bad to a daughter, a son, something. That's the only way. Anybody could go up and shoot you from a car. Or like Kennedy, they shot him from a fucking book tower.
Yeah.
Any fucking moron could do that. But to just pick somebody up by the throat and go, you're going.
Mm.
And guess what? I'm strapping myself up like one of these Arabs. As soon as the cops hit the basement, I pull the fucking booby clip here. So we all go anyway. You're going. You're going.
Yeah.
Don't think you're not going, but fuck it. That's the only way to do it if you're going to do somebody who's just fucked with you.
Yeah.
Now, to shoot a motherfucker like one of these dummy talent agents or like one of these fucking stupid comedians, that's easy. Invite them to the comedy store and wait till they go to the bathroom and blast them with a gun with a silencer and leave them there.
Yeah, where's the fun in that?
The easiest hit is the one that's the most obvious. Do you look at all the great hits in time? Listen, the greatest hit of our time in my eyes, was John Gotti on Paul Castellano at Steaks Spark Steakhouse, you know, a week before Christmas at dinner time. That's genius. That's
because you're in the dead center of it.
You're in the dead center of it, number one. Number two, the only object you have, the only thing you have is an off-duty cop. That's what you're worried about. I'm worried about an off-duty cop.
Why? Where is he?
Off-duty cops are the goofy ones. Look what happened at fucking Hollywood and Highland the other day. Some guy ripped out a knife and started stabbing some fucking family. Two off-duty cops shot the guy and sustained him and put him down. Off-duty cops are everywhere. They're walking with their families. A lot of them carry a piece. But, you know, in that case, this is Paul fucking Castellano walks out of a restaurant, and all of a sudden he starts getting black. Remember, one gun is bad enough. Can you ever see that? You ever see that scene in Heat when they rob the bank at the end? They come out to the car and give him the money, and Fucko sees the guy and he brings out the bazooka, and it's on. Can you imagine that? Put that scene on one night and sit there, smoke a joint, and sit there and go, "What would happen to my insides at that if I ever heard that?" You would drop. You would definitely pee your pants. Mm-hmm. Shit would start to trickle. Your heart would beat to endless, endless.
You'd sweat.
Endless. You're, that's
mouth
not,
goes dry.
That's not your world.
Yeah. I think I might pass out.
You pass out. I pass out. I passed out. I pass out. I pass out all the time. Your heart, your body can't fucking handle it. For some people who are not trained in that, that's why they send you to basic training.
Yeah.
To shoot guns, to hear how a fucking machine gun sounds. So your response, your reactions to that. I like these guys that buy a gun and go out in the street and they don't know nothing about nothing. And I've seen 1,000 guys. Bro, when I was a kid, I had a friend of mine who went to one place and there was a shootout. And people asked him, next day, what happened to your gun? He ran out of it. His girlfriend told us years later. He ran that night. Guy, it's a different world.
Yeah.
That's why I hate people who carry guns, because 40% of them don't really know what they're doing with them.
Well, did you see what happened? And this is what I was worried about. This woman got her purse stolen, and these people came, and this woman was carrying a gun and shot at the dude. And it's just like, that's what I'm worried about. Like, what...
Oh, those fucking hillbillies,
yeah,
listen.
What if you have a gun and you're going to shoot at people?
God bless them. I love that type of shit.
Oh, my God.
They told him to stop. The lady shot at the fucking guy. She robbed the purse.
Yeah.
Did you see the tape?
No, what? He stole her purse, so she killed him?
They didn't kill him, right?
I don't think they killed him. And I think it was another lady had a gun.
Hell.
And just decided to shoot, which, I mean, he did steal a purse. He's not great, but.
Yeah, but what about the judicial system, which says that you have a right to a trial and a lawyer and. You know, what, are people just going to become judge, jury, and executioner on the street? Anybody that can pick up a gun can just decide who lives and dies? That's fucking crazy.
Listen, man, 3 Fridays ago, you were in a town doing comedy, and you were in your room writing fucking jokes, and all of a sudden the phone rang, or you looked up and somebody said, "Did you hear what happened in Paris?" And you turned the TV on. And all of a sudden, they started describing these people at a fucking concert, these people at a cafe. Now, if you didn't stop what you were thinking at that moment for 30 seconds, and you didn't process this could happen now. Now that this happened, this could happen anywhere, Fitzsimmons. This could happen anywhere, Fitzsimmons. People are pissed. Americans are scared. Americans are broke. I don't blame a lot of Americans for their behavior right now. It's a different country when you and I were growing up, bro.
No, I do. There's a way this country behaves.
We have a weird president, and right now people are on edge.
Yeah.
I can't fucking take my kid to fucking the mall now because Christmas shopping, because these motherfuckers are going
to
do this.
No, you can't take him to school. That's more dangerous at the school than the mall.
Half the country is closed. We're living in a country where half the country is voting on these refugees, and the other half of the country is like, fucking fuck them. Mm. We don't want them. You know, we have to put them through a strict fucking process because there might be cells. They already caught 4 of them in Honduras last week. That means there's 18 of them already in California.
Mm.
Okay, you have to assume. You have to assume, Lee. If you're an American and you're educated,
yeah, you have to assume they're here, but not just unless from the refugees.
Unless
they're
you believe, regardless. Well, how do you think they got here? Do you think that they got here on a red carpet premiere?
Yeah.
No, they came up through Honduras. They dragged like Mexicans. They say whatever the fuck Mexicans did. They got up. You know those coyotes. They'll fucking eat a scab off an Iranian's fucking fingernail. They don't give a fuck, Lee. So eight Mexicans show up. Listen, I come up to you. I go, you want to go to the United States? Si. Tell them I'm your friend Primo. Before this guy got sent over, he took fucking 2 weeks of fucking Spanish. What's her name? Rosa Perez, the fucking things you learn online?
Yeah.
From
Rosetta Stone?
Rosetta Stone.
Rosie Perez.
All right, whatever her fucking name is. She Rosetta fucking stoned him. Let's be educated Americans here. Okay, you're saying joy, but you're paranoid. Let's say, okay, look what they did in Paris. Look what they're doing everywhere else. Okay, they shot down a plane yesterday. So what you're telling me, these people trying, they're like Colombians now. You watch Netflix?
Sure, I saw that.
Okay, they had different paths going. They just don't have this way to go to the United States. They just didn't have Panama. They were shipping through Mexico, and it was coming in through Miami, and it was coming in through New York City, and it was coming in through there, and it was coming in through here. And they sent in, and they accepted, out of seven shipments, they knew two of them were going to get grabbed. It's the same mentality when I'm sending over those fucking people through the border. Meanwhile, you're thinking that they're sending them in through this refugee thing. And we're watching these refugees. They caught four of them in Honduras with fake passports.
Right. So that's my point.
Like, so do you think they're the first ones that went through Honduras? That means we've already got 18 of them here.
Oh, we probably have thousands of them.
So now, how do you think this works? I go to a Mexican family that hasn't eaten in fucking 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Okay? They're just poor fucking Mexican people. They don't know no better. They're like the farmers in Colombia who pick the fucking leaves for 10 cents a day. Meanwhile, the final result is $3 billion a fucking year. These people are poor little fucking spicks. I come up to you with some Arabian accent. I give you fucking more money than you've ever seen to teach me Spanish. And I'm going to take your family to the United States. Give me some of your T-shirts. Give me a fucking poncho. And let's get this motherfucker through. And they shaved their beard. You tell me half these Arabs don't look like... Listen, on the way home today, go to the fucking Laurel Canyon and Chandler fucking 7-Eleven. Look me in the face when you walk out of there and tell me that's not ISIS in there.
What are you saying? The guy that works there?
The whole store. The whole store.
The entire operation.
The entire operation. Wow. And I wish this was a joke.
I wish that you didn't... You can't let the fear get to you like
this. The other day...
It's blinding
you. The other day, I walked in there after the attacks, and they had the Arab music blasting. They had the turbans on. They were looking at Americans giggling when they walked in. I was watching them. I was looking for the Hubba Bubba. You think I'm trying to be funny here? I'm not being fucking funny. So you have to alert. Listen, guys, they're going to do something. They're going to do fucking something, and they want to do it within the next 2 weeks to make a fucking statement. They got this poor Russian all fired up, this Putin guy. He's no fucking genius.
Honestly, how do
you... And I'm not... Listen, guys, I was prepared to die when I was 17 years old. I don't give a fuck. I don't vote. I got felonies. I don't give a fuck about all this shit. You want me to lie to you? But I'm telling you, you have to be a little bit cautious. You have to keep your eyes open, and you got to have something. You got to have a BB gun. You got to have a knife on you. You better have something. Something. Irish, I love you to death. That's in your fucking blood.
I think if you want to stop this shit, it's, you feed into it. When you objectify a race of people or a culture of people because of some events that happened in Paris, you're going to cause animosity that could actually lead to people. It's a recruiting tool. We feed into it, and we create more people that are maybe living on the edge of the Muslim society, and you make them hate us. We're doing the recruiting for them. You know, they're innocent people. I mean, they're a part of America. There's some shitty ones and there's some good ones, but I don't think as a race that they are responsible for more crimes in this country, and. You know, the ones that got here before were college students. A lot of the terrorists that came through this country, that were trained here, that were friends of the Bushes, they came in here business class. They overstayed college visas. The poor people coming in, they're not, they don't give a fuck. They got no, what do they got allegiance to? A bunch of guys in fucking turbans that used to beat them with rocks? They don't give a shit about that place. They want to come to America.
And we obviously, like, that whole thing about giving Muslims an ID is never, if that happens, it's fucking terrible. But they have all the technology, they're running background checks on everybody behind the scenes, probably.
Yeah.
You would hope. The issue I have is, like, I'm pretty liberal for the most part, but I don't understand why everyone hates, like, it feels like everyone hates on the military.
And the U.S. military?
Yeah. I feel like it's, like, people would be anti being having them in the street. Like, I spent 6 months in Israel, and they're just everywhere. And at this point, I'd be more comfortable with them being in the street than
the military?
Yeah, than everyone else having guns.
I think people would be fucking miserable seeing military people all over the place. That would make me frown.
Well, we turn into Cuba.
Yeah.
But
we turn into Cuba.
But this is happening.
I have military people and every three blocks, listen, I believe in security. I believe in a lot of things. I believe in people looking after one another. But Jesus Christ, if I gotta walk up the corner and there's a tank on my fucking
I'm not saying a tank.
A weed store. Well, what do you think you want? If you're gonna come to protect Uncle Joey, bring the tank. Don't show up with a Jeep with some skinny guy with a cough. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure they have.
I don't need no corporal. You know what I'm saying? I shot the sheriff, not the deputy.
This is L.A. I'm sure.
Send in the big guns.
Fuck the send in the big guns.
I'm sure they have a tank within 30 minutes of here.
I shot the sheriff, though. Little guy shot the sheriff by Eric Clapton.
There you go. Good call.
Let's do this
shit. Better version, Eric Clapton or Bob Marley?
In my world, both of them are so fucking good.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
You're right. It's like All Along the Watchtower. Both versions.
This is Dan from Brea. You know, Dan from Irvine.
Sure.
I'm doing a podcast, but I'm coming down there with three Jews and a clerk, a cocksucker. We're counting chairs.
Put it on speaker.
You know I love you, brother. I heard what ticket sales are good. Will I see you tonight? I'll see you there, my friend. Thank you for the call. I love you. Bye.
Looking good for Brea. I like it.
Irvine.
Irvine or Brea?
Oh, shit. Kick that motherfucking horse, Lee. All around my home,
they're trying to track me down. Yeah, these British guys dug the reggae. The Stones, they loved reggae because they had Jamaicans in London. So these guys are playing rock, and they're throwing some little upstroke reggae sound in there. Somebody told me that's what reggae guitar playing is. You don't hit it on the downstroke, you hit it on the upstroke. Yeah.
For what? I don't know. Are you kidding me? Oh, shit. Every time when I plant the seed, you say, give me before. Oh, shit, Lee. Taking you deep in the fucking murky waters of Eric Clapton right there. Now, we're living in some weird times, my friend.
Yes, we are. But we got kids, so you got no choice. You gotta say we're gonna make it work. We get through it.
I had a situation last night, and I want to get your input on it. I went to see the movie, and I got a little bit high. And right as the movie started, Paula said she got hit with like an M&M. And we looked. And I was like, "What?
Who's that? Your girl?"
Yeah. And I looked. We looked back, and we didn't see anybody. I was like, "Are you okay?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm okay." I was like, "Okay." And then like. Three quarters of the way through, another one came down. It didn't hit anything. And I was a little high, but I was like, should I? I wanted to get up and do something. And then I was like, I can't get overconfident. Like, I don't want to like be like, oh, I'm going to punch somebody. And then what if they have a weapon?
What if there's three of them?
Yeah, so, like, I didn't know. If they kept doing it, I was going to have to do it, but they didn't do it ever again. And when the movie was over, they were gone. But
you know who it was?
No, but okay. There's no one there behind us. There's like, no one in the movie.
So who gives a fuck?
You but like, what would...
Were you kidding? You bent over and picked it up, cocksucker, and ate that motherfucker and said, this is like Jesus is loving me. Who the fuck are you kidding?
I didn't eat off the floor.
You said, Lee, I got hit in the head with an M&M. Let me know if it happens again.
You picked that fucking M up and you're like fucking G. You like that? You were like that kid in Animal House when he was jerking off to Playboy, and all of a sudden the chick shot through his window, and he looks at him and goes, "Thanks God!" Fucking classic scene. Thanks That's God.
Right. And the girl's just drunk enough to fuck him anyway.
Put the
she was gonna
video.
Close.
Put the video on Lee. Animal House March. The kid whacking off the Playboy. Oh my God. You forgot about that. And they
I forgot
run
about that.
And right, and let me tell you the brilliance of that movie. That once she lands in, what's the next scene? Is Kevin Bacon
party, right?
Going, "Stop, stop." And they run him over and they show Kevin Bacon in the floor.
Oh, right.
Oh my God. That right. You understand comedy brilliance?
Yeah.
Which nobody really does no more in a film.
Yeah,
they didn't get you with just a fucking hook. They got you with a straight one, because when Kevin Bacon gets run over, you fucking die after. You're like, you're stoned, you're a kid, you don't know better, you just fucking fall out.
Right.
Then later on, you're like, it wasn't that funny.
Just,
it was.
But little shit like that. I remember like
little
the
shit
the
like
cake,
that.
The cake float that they built.
Yes.
What did it say on the side of it?
Eat that.
Eat me.
Eat me.
It said eat me. Like, you didn't need that, but it was there.
Oh, my God,
little,
they have it. No, they don't.
That little bit of extra.
No, they don't have it.
Is that the one you're talking
Let
about?
Me see. Let's see. Oh, my God. No, 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 they don't. Yeah.
He's not even in his own. He's in his dad's room.
Look at him. Look at him. Put the music on to him. Put the sound on to him.
Thank you, God.
One more time. One more time, Daddy.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Oh my God.
He's gonna tear that up.
Oh my
God. That kid is gonna tear it up.
That is one of the funniest fucking things.
In his dad's room. Not even his own. He's gonna spunk one out right where his mother sleeps. He doesn't give a shit. That's where the magazine is.
That is real comedy, ladies and gentlemen. What you're seeing today is bullshit. That who wrote that?
Animal House was written by what's his name?
Don't tell me Ramis. Don't even tell me that.
What's his name? Yeah, Harold Ramis.
Who wrote Animal House, Lee?
I think it was produced by
Is
it John Landis?
Yeah, that whole team. But was it really Ramis who wrote that?
Okay, here we go.
Oh my God.
Oh Jesus Christ. Cast. I'm just going to the group. All right, so it's produced by Reitman and Simmons.
Oh, Reitman, right.
And then what do you want? You want to see?
Who is written? It's right up on top.
It can be on top, Lee.
Jesus Christ, Lee. Don't make me
stop. There we go. Yeah, Ramis, Kearney, and Miller.
Fucking hell, Ramis.
No? Not on board?
Me?
Yeah. Oh, you're saying he's great.
He was my hero.
Oh, yeah.
He's my hero.
Fuck yeah.
They didn't put him on Saturday Night Live. And he said, "Okay, watch my heat, bitch.
Yeah.
Watch this. Watch this. Ain't no world. Ain't no worry. You don't like me. It's okay. You like all my friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you don't like me. Okay. My feelings ain't hurt. But watch what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you Stripes.
Yeah.
And then just out of respect, let me drop Ghostbusters on you. How you like me now, motherfucker?
Yeah,
I'm gonna steal
your cast while I do
cast.
It.
And guess what else? I don't have to give you 50% of the take like the rest of these suckers had
to. Right.
How's that for you? Yeah.
Right.
That was. What else did see? What else? Ramis.
Oh, he did everything.
Was he Groundhog Day?
You know, I got to work with him. Right. Talk to him for
12
hours.
Wow.
Analyze that.
He was Groundhog Day.
Analyze that.
Groundhog Day should have got an Oscar if it didn't.
Do you want to see his writing or directing? What do you want to see?
Writing.
Okay.
Still got the picture on my wall. Never.
That's awesome.
Fucking loved it.
Opens up with Animal House.
First movie.
Delta House, SCTV, then goes with Meatballs, followed by Caddyshack, followed Meatballs. By Stripes. Oh my God, from 1979 to 81. Can you believe that? Meatballs, Caddyshack,
Damn.
Stripes.
Damn. Shit. They had to pay him.
You know
huh?
those people that I love? Fitzsimmons. You know what I love about Fitzsimmons? He's non-threatening. But he makes me fucking laugh. Like a killer.
Thanks, man. That's
nothing,
nice to hear.
Nothing I like more than when white fucking people got hurt. Irish, that's a complete different type of white people. But when I see a white dude like Tommy Easter, if I have a problem, I'll call Tommy Easter and Talking Lair, and I'm going to die. But they're going to die with me. We're going to die with our hands held because that's their nature.
Yeah.
They don't know no better. They don't know Irish. They don't know no better.
Yeah.
What? They said, what? Let's go down there.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're getting stitches and they're in the hospital. I love you, man. The fuck? I got 18 stitches. I lost a leg.
And what happened exactly? Why are we here?
Because my sister, the guy called her a stupid cunt.
And now I got no leg.
Now I got no leg. I got a roller skate. I got to hang out like the terrorist, the Australian dude who killed his girlfriend. What's his name? Pizzeris.
Pretorius.
Pretorius, whatever his fucking
name. Pretorius.
Whatever his fucking name is.
Yeah, you're going to have to shoot your girlfriend.
Yeah, there's just some fucking people, and Harold Ramis had that. Like, I went down, I fucking hate Latino auditions.
Auditions?
Auditions.
Oh, auditions.
There's nothing bothering me more when an agent calls me and says, hey, I have a 430 for you. When they don't tell me what the project is and they say, I'll send them over to you. Bye. That's always a by the way.
Characters always named Rodriguez or Garcia.
And I look at the fucking role and it's for some two Spanish thugs. And I read it. And you ever read something and as you're reading it, you know it's Luis Guzman?
Yeah.
Like, as you're reading it, you know who this is. Yeah. You already know who this is.
The offer's already out for him. They're just they're just getting you for safety.
They have a star attached. You know who's already attached to the film. And you look at the role, and in my heart, I'm like, Hector and something else. And I go, you know what? I'm not going in for this fucking audition. It was the one about the fucking dude who was the host of the Gong Show.
Oh,
who was also a CIA agent.
Right.
Remember that movie?
Yeah, that was
15
good
years
movie.
Ago? Yes.
It was Luis Guzman in that, wasn't
See?
It?
See? I'm telling you, as I read the fucking thing in those days, I could see the casting. And you know what? I look at the address. It's Beverly Hills. Those places in those days, they give you water. They treat you like a white person. They validate your parking. You know? I go, let me go down there. It's like December 6th or something like that. Right around this time
Pearl
of
Harbor.
Year. And I go in there because I remember Christmas stuff was up. And I remember going in there. You ever go to an audition, there's 80 fucking animals? No. My time was 3:30. And when I got there, 3:30, somebody came out. Did they offer you water? Would you like a newspaper? You know, it was that type of office. I walk in. This lady, I read for him. Before I go in, I go, listen, I don't know why he sent me for his... She goes, I'm looking at all ethnicities. Forget this. This is an ambiguous role, they tell you. I read for it, and she tells me at the end, she goes, it was a really good read, man. She goes, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. They got an offer on you, you know, right? But she goes, listen, my next movie is you. Keep me posted. Keep in touch with me. And I got something for you. She told me right out.
Yeah.
Very sweet lady.
Right.
And that's exactly what I did. I sent her a thank you note for that. I sent her a Christmas card. Then I shot this thing called The Mezzos. The Mezzos is why Big Pussy left The Sopranos. He was going to ABC to shoot The Mezzos. The Mezzos was about two gay mobsters that had a theater in the Pink Pussycat in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they had collected money. So it was going to be two gay guys that were bears.
Yeah.
Those bear-type gay guys. So they were brothers, but they were bear. They're both gay. But they weren't going to be gay. The show was going to be on the theme, on the thin edge.
Yeah.
But after Pussy quit The Sopranos, everything went downhill. ABC canned it, but the guy still owned it. And Fox the little Fox back then. Now it's Fox 21, Fox 24, yeah. Fox Hindu. Now they got a Fox for everything.
Yeah.
In those days, it was Fox and a little fucking Fox. So the Fox Searchlight.
All right.
Fox Searchlight.
Yes.
We'll do the fucking project. Perfect. We shot it in January. I booked it. It was a 2-week short film, whatever. They took it to all these gay festivals, did fantastic. I sent her a reel. She calls me back. She goes, listen, I want you to come in New York and read for this. We'll send you a plane ticket. Come to New York. In those days, they were still fucking cool. This is 2000.
Flying in for an audition,
Flying in for an audition. No hotel.
Yeah.
Which, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I take the free ticket. I don't know nothing in those days, Greg Fitzsimmons. I know nothing about nothing, okay? And finally, I ask my agent to send me everything, and he sends me the film. Who the fucking, who's in it? Who wrote it? And it was Harold Ramis. And every piece of sperm came out of my asshole and everything. I said, if I booked this, I could talk so much shit.
Yeah.
I got everybody, because nobody works at this fucking guy. This is the true mark of a comic. Went in there, read, brother, they fucking called me and gave it to me.
Right away?
Oh, no. It took about a month. They tormented me.
Yeah.
And you know how it says shoot date, April 24th? I snapped by the 29th and just picked up the phone and called the casting director. What is the meaning of this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Joey, hold on. Susie Faris, who today is a big timer here in town.
Uh-huh.
At that time, she was an assistant for this lady in New York. And she called me back, and she goes, you booked it. We'll send you this, 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 and this. And, dog, I tell you what, I even stopped doing blow for a week before that.
Good for you.
Which was a lot in those days. I'm not going to lie. It was like 4 days. 4 days. 4 fucking days I quit doing blow before I went in with that guy.
Yeah.
And he was everything I wanted him to be. You know, who the fuck am I? I could lie to you guys and tell you he was everything I wanted him to be as a director. Yeah. I don't even know what the director was. A director to me is a guy who sits with you and teaches you something and you learn something. And he was very good to me that day, but it wasn't until they shot The Other Side and I had his ear for 2 hours, just him and me, New Jersey, where you from, you ever smoked dope? And all of a sudden I started asking him about what happened. And he told me Montreal Comedy Festival, they could suck my dick. He just started telling me the things that didn't matter.
Yeah.
He just broke them down for me as a comic. What doesn't matter and what matters. Everything else is bullshit. He goes, so what? The guy didn't want to work with me. It was his fucking loss. Now look at me. You know what I'm saying? I'm living like a fucking doctor. I left that set a different person.
Yeah.
Because he lifted me. It's like when you go to a fucking comedy store, Greg, it's not like going to the West Side Comedy Jam where you follow 8 guys that are bringing 4 people. You know, when you go to the comedy store, Sebastian's in front of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So right off the bat, you lift up. You lift up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You go from being a yellow belt to a fucking brown belt. Now, all of a sudden, nobody's got to give you a belt or nothing.
Yeah.
It's true. In my mind, the same thing had happened to me by working with him. Like now again, after that I started booking shit like a madman.
Yeah.
I booked Spider-Man 2, American Gangster, Long and Short, just from the confidence that he gave me that day. He's like, listen, nobody likes me. But who gives a fuck?
He said that?
Yeah, oh yeah. He was cool as shit.
Yeah. He didn't give a shit that people didn't like him. Every really successful person that I meet out here in Hollywood doesn't fucking care. They date women with big tits and fake lips and, you know, and they're, you know, 62 and she's 24. They don't give a shit how it looks. They don't care how they talk to people. You know, I'm not saying in a bad way or a good way. It's just a thing I've found is that to get that powerful, you have to truly not give a shit.
Now, there's two schools of thought, and this is what got me here with you. I was always the type of guy I didn't give a fuck. But it was half routine and half, I really didn't give a fuck because, and I was thinking about this today, how I look at my daughter who's three years old, and she's not, I don't know how to say this without sounding creepy. She's a virgin of life. Right now when I pick her up, she says, Daddy, and I pick her up and she always has a good day. But someday something happens that changes them. That's why I don't like fucking dogs around my kids. That's the reason I don't want a fucking dog around you. I know you, your pit bull's great, and you saved them from a fire. Listen, that's great, but these motherfuckers snap eventually. And I don't
especially when they're around little kids, because little kids are like another dog to them.
You know, because these little children, when they're that young, you could crack them at that age. It's not the same.
And even if they don't snap, pit bulls are just really strong dogs.
Yeah, well, whatever. So, yeah. It's not the point is that, you know, it's like even when they get into their first pushing match at school, it affects them. You know, if a kid hits them, it affects them. Like when I was a fucked up, my dad died when I was 3, and I walked around like a Momo for 2 years. I played hooky one day, got hit in the head with a fucking flashlight, and it snapped me out of who. That's who I am today. The guy that, you know, I got hit in the head with a thermos. I got into a fist fight, and I got hit with a head in the thermos. Until today, I think to that. Like, that woke me up.
How old were you?
6, first grade.
Yeah.
Played, not even played hooky. Went to get a hot dog, whatever. Got hit. That hit in the head, seeing my own blood, knowing that that could happen now, makes a different person out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was sitting there going, when is it going to happen to Mercy? Like, what kid's going to push her down and hurt her feelings? You know, it starts with something like that. Yeah. You know?
I'm sure it's happened already.
But it's so weird how when my mother died at that age, when you lose somebody close to you, and I was really Catholic, I really fucking believe. Listen, today I believe in God. I don't give a fuck what these assholes think. I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. God has worked for me. I don't know if he don't work for you. Maybe you're a piece of shit. But, you know, God has worked for me in many ways. I'll let you know when we have the time. If you want to sit with me, I'll let you know 8 stories how there's a God in my life. He could be Jewish. He could be a fucking black dude. I don't know who the fuck he is, but there's somebody who's helped me. But when your mom gets taken away at an early age, or your dad, and there's no explanation, you lose something, Greg.
Yeah.
And you lose that, I don't give a fuck. Now you become a selfish, I don't give a fuck. For years, I was a selfish, I don't give a fuck. You know what? What'd you say, Greg? If I hit you in the head with that fucking microphone, knock your fucking eye out. Let's see. And those are the people who do knock an eye out, do 30 years, and you live with a fucking eye patch for 30 years.
Yeah.
You follow me? Senseless. Senseless, senseless stupidity, you know. You know, eventually I met people and love was brought back into my life and stuff like that, but I never really gave a fuck, you know. Just being Spanish right there, in a way, I could be one of those guys that the word spick bothers me. Or I just one day said it doesn't bother me. Not giving a fuck, it toughens your skin a little bit.
Yeah.
We have tougher skin, you know. How many people have come to this town with great aspirations, Greg, that you came up with? They got a few no's, and they're back in Boston working at a bakery, and I'm telling you some story. You know how it is, Greg. We knocked up the wife, and,
right.
You know, and right, well, real estate prices are cheaper. And
yeah. You know, I still go out and do an open mic night every other month when she gives me a Tuesday off.
Or writers that you came out with that had big aspirations, and the script got shot down. You know?
Yeah, yeah, it was the ones that got angry about it and said, like Ramis said, I'll show you.
I'll show you, you know, and what's up, Lee? Your eyes are all red. You want another inhaler? Is the asthma coming back?
You know what? I think the asthma might be coming back, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm writing that down. That's my next album, I'll show you.
Let me give some shout-outs to some people here. Gordon Warnock, fucking my main man, Tanner McCleave. Mr. Luhan, James Edward Trules, always been around for us. Emily Teller, Brandy Lynn, I love you. You know, happy fucking Thanksgiving with your family, your boyfriend, everybody up there. Roger Kelly and LOL, no, 101 Holster. You never showed up with my holster, cocksucker. You're slipping. You're slipping. Where you at this weekend, Greg?
I'm going to be December 9th. I'm going to be in Oklahoma Snow. December 9th, I'm at the Comedy Store in L.A. doing my 500th episode of FitzDog Radio. Joe Rogan's going to hang out with me for a little bit. We're going to shoot the shit, talk about 500, go back over each one for an hour. So that's December 9th. And then I'm in Oklahoma City at a place, I think at the Oklahoma something.
Which, by the way, is a fucking tremendous room.
Oh, really?
Tremendous people. Tremendous fucking hotel. It's a fucking room filled with savages.
No shit.
Savages. I went and loved every fucking minute. I'm looking to go back next year. Tremendous fucking room.
Oh, I'm psyched.
All
right.
Savages. They That's all come awesome. Out. They cheer. They jump up and down. You could get dirty with them. Fucking they take the ride. They
Beautiful.
Think, fuck the Bible Belt.
Yeah. Beautiful. I hadn't heard anything about the room. I'm psyched. All right. So we got that. And then we've got New Year's Eve in Portland, Oregon. At the Helium Comedy Club.
More fucking savages who I love. Last time I went up there, I came back with a pound and a half of fucking reefer, liquid acid.
Oh, yeah, it's legal,
DMT.
Right?
I came back with everything. My sugar and a juice. I came back with fucking... And right downstairs, yeah. They got a beautiful medical marijuana store named Pharma.
Yeah.
Pharma.
Okay.
Fucking great people. Go downstairs, say hello. They got everything.
You don't need a license. You don't need anything.
Nothing. You need your driver's license. Tell them fucking Uncle Joey sent you. I don't know nothing about him. No. Who's Uncle Joey? Don't worry about it. It's like white powder, ma. I don't know nothing.
Tell them Uncle Joey sent you. And then they say, who's Uncle Joey? And then you say, never mind.
Yeah, I remember one
you
time
don't need
when,
to
I was
know about it.
When I was 12.
What are the questions?
When I was... That's it.
And they'd say, well, why didn't you tell me Uncle Joey sent you if you don't want to tell me?
You know,
and then you have a panic attack because you're stoned and you run out.
Somebody bumped into me. I was at, what's the coffee shop we go to? You know,
Dunkin'
there.
Donuts? Yeah, Starbucks.
The one
right. Coffee bean and tea leaf.
And we're sitting there minding our own business. And this guy's talking to me and he goes, you know, I listen to the podcast. And he goes, you remind me of my Uncle Vito, you know. You can never get a fucking straight answer out of them, you know? Never. It was always... And it's not that they're bad guys. Yeah. It's that... And it's like that scene. That's how I was raised. The perfect scene. When I was a kid, we would get raided all the time. My mom had a bookmaking joint.
Right.
So every Saturday, I worked at bookmaking. But part of my job was lookout. You look at cars. Who's sitting in the car? Why is that car there? Why is that dude there? You just learn how to photograph scenarios and who's out of place. Those old school neighborhoods, it's not who's there, it's who's out of place.
Yeah.
That dude wasn't there last week. And those neighborhoods, they're old school spics and you know, black people and Chinese and white Irish people. They don't move. That's their spot. That's been their spot for 30 fucking years.
Yeah.
How many bars do you go to in Boston? That's Mel's chair. Who the fuck is Mel? Yeah. Mel's been coming there. Don't be in that chair at 5:05 when Mel comes in here. Mel's been sitting in that same... It's something about who we are. So you learn to see not who's there, but who's out of place.
Right.
So I used to work at this place, and I remember that the cops would tell you when they were going to come to raid you. So instead of you having 10,000, have 1,400. Let us take something in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in those days, a lot of people don't know this. Bookmaking is a ticket in New York City.
Yeah.
It's a felony in New Jersey. I think it's a ticket in New York City.
Yeah. Yeah.
They give you a ticket, they give you a fine, they take 400 off the table, whatever. But it's so weird how you learn how the lingo. Because everything you say is used against you. Everything you say is used against you. A lot of people don't realize that shit. There's one cop that's sitting and there's one cop that's listening. As soon as you get in the car while you're sitting there with your handcuffs on, he's writing something. What the fuck do you think he's writing? What the fuck you just said? Remember in Goodfellas when he pinches the kid on the street selling cigarettes?
Yeah.
What's he say to him? It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. Come on, kid. Who's it is? It's all right. It's going to be okay. It's all right. He didn't say his name, who he was with. That's it. You fucking... It's amazing how many times I got arrested and I would throw them the fuck off with like a couple fucking words. Because they weren't used to that shit.
Yeah.
They were used to people talking. And you're still talking, but you ain't saying nothing. Drives people fucking nuts.
So what do you do?
It's like jujitsu. It's like verbal jujitsu. You're not committing your weight in any one direction. You're balanced. You're right in the center. You're in your own weight. And then you can go any direction, any time.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Lee? You still didn't bring the fucking turkey over there, did you?
No.
They're going to eat chickens.
Yeah.
That's what you want for Thanksgiving?
Sure.
What the fuck is wrong with that?
Chicken.
This is what I got to deal with.
Who and the I fuck said eats to, chicken on Thanksgiving?
And what I said to him was, instead of being rude, Ralph's gives you a fucking turkey if you spend over $50.
Free turkey.
this fucking moulash. I go, get the fucking turkey, bring it over. And I said, they gave it to me. I can't do nothing with it, Ma. Why don't you make it for Thanksgiving? Very innocently. He can't even fucking sell that. Now he's stuck eating chicken like a fucking white dude at Boston Market.
They have a family thing they do.
Who gives a fuck what the family thing? You're the new white fucking son.
Yeah, right.
So you
got to
set the market and enforce it.
So next year I'll do it.
This is there ain't going to be no next year. You fuck you, this year, today.
You got 24 hours to prepare.
Tonight, go over there with the fucking turkey and go, I just got this at Rouse. I can't do nothing with it. Let's fucking cook it up. And she's fucking Mexican. They love that shit.
Tell her you take those chickens down to the Laugh Factory. Give them to the homeless people.
Yeah, give those birds. They're pigeons from El Barrio. Give those fucking things away. Eat turkey. It's a family thing. Who gives a fuck? So is fucking cancer. You know what I'm saying? It's a family fucking thing, too.
He just called your dinner cancer.
Yeah, a chicken. A chicken is something on the side. You know
chicken
what I'm saying?
Is the thing you have the night before.
Yeah,
bro,
come on.
You've had some dry ass turkey. I'm having Mexican chicken covered in bacon with salsa verde. It's fucking delicious.
Salsa verde with salsa verde. So you're selling your fucking everything you got American for some chicken with bacon and salsa fucking verde.
There's people who eat fish. It doesn't matter.
These fucking generations.
I'll have turkey at some point. It doesn't matter.
Fuck, you got to have it tomorrow. Yeah. First meal up, dog. That's tradition.
Because it's a Thursday, then
Jews
Friday.
Jews fucking came over here to have a better life, not for you to eat a fucking chicken with bacon on it. You fuck. You understand me?
It is. It's insulting to the
it's
Jewish
people. It's insulting to everybody. It's insulting to everybody. Now, I understand it's a tradition. You know what my tradition is on fucking Thanksgiving Day? Having somebody lick my asshole with a Coke rock in it. That's my tradition. I wish I could do that for Thanksgiving. Just go into, what's that, happy baby yoga position?
Yeah.
And have a hot Chinese chick come over and just put little rocks in my asshole and suck it and jerk my fucking dick off. That's my tradition. I would love to do that for Thanksgiving. You think I want to hang out with white people and pray and hear boring fucking stories? But guess what? You got to eat a turkey on Thanksgiving, so don't offend me no more, all right? When you leave here, go over to fucking, and just buy one and bring one over there and go, listen, they gave me this. What do you want me to do?
So just for the record, Lee, you eating chicken on Thanksgiving is cancer.
It's cancer.
You eating turkey on Thanksgiving is a Coke rock in your asshole while an Asian girl eats it out and jerks you off.
That's what you want on Thanksgiving. That's
not even close. Not even close experience.
That's my fucking
tradition. I wasn't going to tell this story, but I felt now it kind of matches up now. You had Joey on your podcast and radio show a couple years ago, and you had me on. And I think about this all the time. You asked me a question that I think about constantly. You said, what's the hardest part about working with Joey Diaz? And I said something stupid like, oh, it's all fun. And I was like, this part is the hardest part.
And I'm about me telling you the truth. What's the fucking truth
here? It's chicken. Who cares? Who cares? It's chicken. It's not about what you eat. There's families who eat whatever.
2,000 years ago, these fucking white momos were hanging out minding their own business with these fucking hats on, these fucking little suits on, like the Jacksons in the 60s with tights on. And they had nothing. Some people had corn. Some people had whatever the fuck
maize.
They had, a turkey. Some people had maize. Some people had bread. And all of a sudden, look, boom, on the horizon, they saw some Indians. Now, any other fucking day of the week, I'd have to stab those motherfuckers. But these guys, they seem like friendly people. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you shoot a black guy, like that fucking dude in Chicago. How many times you shoot that poor
14
fucking,
in the
Jesus
back.
Jesus Christ. Unfucking believable. He's going to die in that. He's going to die in jail. And they said, fuck it. You want to come over and eat? And the fucking people said, well, we got some of this and we got some of that. Well, what can we get? Can we get a fucking chicken or a pigeon? They said, no, it's not enough for all of us. But if we make a few turkeys, all 30 of us could fucking eat. And all of a sudden, every year, people started fucking doing their turkeys. You follow me?
It was 1,000 years ago, Lee.
Whatever the fuck had happened. I'm not good with dates. The point of the story is, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about my world. One of my tightest friends in the world is a girl by the name of Stacey Pocoluda. Do you know who Stacey Pocoluda is?
No.
She's a comedy publicist. I love Stacey very much. I went to a house one year, which was already a taboo, because she had Thanksgiving at 6 o'clock. That's always a bad sign. I'm a pot smoker. Get that turkey ready by 2.
3, yeah.
3 the fucking latest.
Right.
And I'm talking, well, you that turkey better be fucking sliced at 3.
Right.
Don't bring it to the table at 3:30, and I got to eat fucking potatoes and bread. I have a fucking conniption. 2 is 2.
2 o'clock, because you're going to take another pass at it. There's a rematch at around 10 o'clock at night.
There's a, and whose world is that?
You're talking about 7 o'clock.
I'm talking about 5:15.
Yeah.
You know, the, if you eat at 2, you're making a white, you're making a fucking turkey on Wonder Bread by 5 o'clock and you're in my room. Because I'm getting you high. Right or wrong? After that turkey and the whole thing.
Are you eating, are you smoking between courses?
Smoking? I'm smoking all day tomorrow on Periscope. I might even go to church tomorrow morning and smoke right in front of fucking church on Periscope just to let these motherfuckers know how it's done. I love, anyway, back to Stacey Buckaluda. I waited, I held that all fucking day, and I went up there at 6. For starters, she gave me fucking box mashed potatoes.
Oh, that was
the worst mashed potatoes I ever had in my
life.
If anybody knows me and anybody knows anything about me, I'm so sensitive that I was drawn to tears, and I'm not ashamed to say this. I was very upset that I was so upset that I got home, went to bed, and my wife woke me at 3 in the morning. She said she knew how upset I was, that she made a turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing. And I got up, took a shower, drank coffee, smoked a joint, and ate turkey till 6 in the morning. That's because my wife...
Your wife did that for you?
That's how serious she was.
That's beautiful.
The moral of the story was I didn't talk to Stacey for 8 fucking months. She kept calling me. She didn't know why. And one night I had to say, you know why, Stacey? Because you made the worst mashed potatoes I've ever had in my life on Thanksgiving night.
Wow.
And out of all the nights to make a fucking bad mashed potato,
right,
it's not that fucking night, okay?
Right.
If you don't know something, don't fucking do it. Call somebody who does know. It's Thanksgiving. Right. Don't fuck nothing up. So I take Thanksgiving very fucking personally.
No, me too, man.
It's not that I'm going off on you. So please, don't even say another word, Lee.
No,
Lee, once we leave here, go to Ross and get a chicken, please. A turkey. And bring it over there tonight. Unannounced. Ring the fucking bell. Go upstairs and go, Mom, I love you. You're not going to believe what happened. And get some flowers, too. Go for the fucking small 50. And stop being a fuckhead all your life. Let's put our foot down now so everybody knows that Lisa Ann exists before you become that white fucking son-in-law in the corner and nobody talks to you like the other, and you got the HIV. Go over there tonight. Get the fucking turkey and the fucking flowers, and you bring them over to the mom and say, Mom,
happy Thanksgiving. Some real fucking potatoes.
Yeah, just so there's no misunderstandings. And you go, here, they gave me this at Ralph's. I'm fucking embarrassed, but it doesn't fit in my freezer, and I don't know what to do with it. Why don't you make it tomorrow? And give her a kiss and walk out. Don't say, what you... No. Say, why don't you make it tomorrow? And kiss her and turn around and walk away. And when you get there tomorrow at 2 o'clock, you bet your ass there'll be a fucking turkey there.
Could be a chicken and some bacon.
You never ask. You assume the clothes. She's Spanish. They love cooking. Bring the fucking turkey over there, Lee. Because if not, you're going to upset me very much. Not as much as yesterday when you went to fucking Subway after the nice workout we had.
Subway bad? So it's more low fat than McDonald's.
This fucking guy did a tremendous kettlebell workout. He was swinging 61 fucking pounds. I didn't even pick up 61 pounds yesterday.
For how long?
Fucking for an hour. We go every Tuesday.
Do you do aerobic as well, or is it just weights?
Dog, we do fucking...
We were in the middle of 10 for 15.
We do 10 for 15 kettlebells, then we do cleans. We did squats yesterday. Sometimes we do the ropes. But I go there every Tuesday, but I have kettlebells in my trunk, and then I do them one day in front of the house.
Yeah.
Then when I go on the road Friday and Saturday, I just lift weights in the hotel there with some dumbbells and elliptical. So.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do. And then I go to one or two jiu-jitsus. Tomorrow we're going to jiu-jitsu.
You taking Lee?
Yeah.
I've been doing it for a few months.
No shit. Good
Lee's going
you,
to a competition next week.
For
that's
jiu-jitsu?
How ballsy this motherfucker is.
Really?
Yeah. And then I'm taking him Saturday at 1 o'clock to Hegan's. We're going to Hegan's with one. Hegan found out. We're going to take you to Hegan's, bring your gi, the Sanibel, and my cousin's in town, Julio Rodriguez. He's teaching at Hegan's at 11 o'clock on Saturday. Let's go down there. Fuck yeah, Lee. You're getting ready, dog. This is it, motherfucker.
Okay.
Let's do it.
He sounds enthused.
He gets there, bro, he's good.
Is he an animal?
Oh, listen, he's got this foot he inherited. See those Jews from Auschwitz?
Yeah.
over the years, this the what's the thing that they got in their systems, the chromosome, whatever the fuck they got. Well, anyway, that's what they got.
The Ty Sachs or
the
whatever.
The fucking foot. He's got a foot. He's heavy and short. So it's not like Joe Diaz laying on you that I could roll you like a fucking bowling pin.
You can't roll you at all. You're heavy as fuck.
Don't be saying that shit. You threw me off you the other day, cocksucker.
No, I know.
He just gasses out. Because instead of pulling me down, he wants to fucking judo throw me. And then he pulls up that little alligator foot of his, you know.
What do you mean? What kind of foot? Like a claw?
No. Like, we both start on our knees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're both even. But if he gets on his fucking feet, he's my height. It's hysterical.
All right.
So to tip me over, he picks up that little Jew club and he fucking throws me down because he's got the strength of 10 fucking Hercules.
Does he?
Look at him. And he wrestled in high school. He's one of these guys that's a... He doesn't know. He has no fucking idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
Every time I'm wrestling, all you hear is me going, ooh, ah. Because every time he moves, one day I had him in a half guard. He stuck his foot. Like Jewish people, the club from Auschwitz.
I didn't know this about the Jewish.
Fucking, what do they got? Chromosomes. Not the, how do they get people? DNA.
Right.
They got good DNA in their feet. And they fucking open heat. When his feet go down on you, they cut you. Nobody has ever broken my, I had a fucking purple thing inside my thigh.
Yeah. Lee, holy shit! I would have never guessed that.
But I gotta drag him.
No offense, I just you don't look like an athlete.
No, this is the first time I've worked out in my life.
Lee, really? I gotta drag him because if I don't drag him, once he gets there, he's Johnny Hercules.
Yeah.
Like the other day, I'm watching him. He starts swinging the 61 pounds, and this is what I like about people. There's some people that you got to take to the dance. I want to take to the those. You know, it's like these guys. I say, well, she's not gonna suck my dick. Thank her for the steak dinner. You never know. You give her the steak, give her the tiramisu, a glass of white wine. She might have a different tune. You know what I'm saying? They never want to suck dick. Somebody got to talk them into it.
Right.
No woman woke up one morning and said, you know what? Today I want to suck a dick. Every woman had to get talked into sucking that first dick.
Right.
Who do you think? And then, you know, I had a guy, a friend of mine in high school told me this, that he dated a girl for 4 years till college. She never sucked his dick. And she married his friend, and they got divorced years later, and he asked him, how good was Lisa's blowjob? And he's like, what are you talking about? She wouldn't do it. He goes, what, are you kidding me? I had her blowing me fucking everywhere, in cars, eating my ass.
Right.
It's like that girl that everybody fucks in high school, but she won't fuck you.
I had that girl.
We all had
her. Yeah.
You took a home.
She was fucking everybody except me. I was the friend.
You busted out the wine glass, your father's wine glass. And they're like, oh, no, I'm not that type of girl. And you play it along for a while.
Right.
Until the end of the night when she's heading out. And you're like, you know what? You're a fucking whore. Everybody fucked you in the ass, you dirty bitch. Get out of my house. Well, not. I'm not going to go to them. Who gives a fuck? Welcome to the Thanksgiving podcast with Uncle Joey.
Lot to be thankful for.
Lot to be fucking thankful for. Don't forget that turkey, cocksucker. Remember that song, Ricky, Don't Lose My Number? Ricky, don't forget about me. Bring the turkey over. You got to set your mark and enforce it. You don't want to be the third son-in-law sitting in the back of the room like a fucking Mama Luke.
I'm not, but I'm not going to bring a turkey over there.
You live near your mom?
No, she lives in Boston.
Oh, so she's in town?
No, his mother-in-law.
His
mother-in-law.
She lives nearby?
Yeah, they're Spanish. They love to fucking cook. There's four of them. They're going to make chickens. How many chickens are you going to make? Bring a fucking turkey over and get the party started. Why are you so scared?
I'm not scared,
yes,
bro.
You are. This is not about, I don't like turkey. You eat a scab off a fucking foot. You eat turkey from fucking Subway.
Yeah.
That means you'll eat anything.
Yeah.
Right, so stop it. Don't say that. I don't like to eat turkey because it's dry. All of a sudden now you're trying to throw the dry fucking thing in there.
Grab a leg.
Every day. Stop bullshitting me.
Turkey's fine.
You got to set your mark and enforce it. What?
I moved here. I had a lot of Thanksgivings where I didn't have anybody to have it with. Now I'm having it with this girl that I've been dating for 2.5 years. I don't give a shit. I really don't. I don't care. I'll eat turkey at some point, or maybe I won't.
Look at this poor fucking.
It doesn't matter to me.
Can you believe this fucking?
Why does turkey matter?
Because it matters. Yeah, you gotta have it. It's fucking America. It's America, Lee. You got to set
your. At some point.
You got to set your marker and enforce it. That's it. They're gonna eat chicken every fucking year. You got to bring a turkey over. She's gonna cook anyway. She's a great cook. She loves to cook. Bring the fucking turkey over there and set the rules for next year. Can you believe what I got to do?
Yeah, but that doesn't take like 8 hours.
It takes like 8 hours. You set it up in the morning. It's not eight. It's maybe 6 hours.
I love all that shit.
You throw it in the morning, and it's a whole day together. It's not just about eating the turkey. It's about the process. You stuff it. You clean it. You tie its little fucking legs together. And then you wait, and the house starts to smell like turkey, and you watch some football. You fuck around with your girlfriend in the other room for a little while. Whatever it takes. I know you. You're going to get high. And you're just going to keep smelling that turkey as you get high and hungry, and then that shit comes out, and it's got wet stuffing coming out of its pussy. And you eat that, and you get some real mashed potatoes, and you get some sweet potatoes, and you put gravy on all of it. And then you just say, this is a lot to be thankful for.
I also want to thank my man Dante Gazzini for the beautiful cards, Savage Dad. I can mail these out to all my prison friends. I have a prison pen pal.
Taking one of those home with me. It's going on the fridge. I need you to sign it. I need you to write a note on it.
You want me to write happy holidays to my man
write
Irish?
Something from the heart. Something from
absolutely.
The heart. It's a beautiful picture, Joey. You can see the love. Something about pictures of people from behind as they're walking hand in hand. That doesn't get tired. I love that. I got a nice picture of my wife, my two kids holding both their hands walking away. It's one of my favorite pictures. I got to get out the cards because, Joey, you reminded me that you got to send those fucking cards out to people, you know? I send it out to family, and they were all touched, friends. Sometimes you don't talk to a friend all year, but they get that card from you, and it's like you're still in touch.
Listen, a card, a letter, it says a lot.
Yeah.
It says you took the time. You got to lick the fucking stamp.
Right.
How many people even have a fucking stamp in their house?
Stamps.com.
People don't have stamps no more. You know what I'm saying? You got to lick. I love writing that dude letters in jail.
Yeah.
Like, I don't write them every week, but I wrote them for Thanksgiving to keep his chin up. You know, it's so weird how when you're locked up, you're like, oh, this is going to be the worst week of my life. You know what? My Thanksgiving in prison was fucking tremendous because there was
shit.
No bullshit. Yeah. Stovetop. Mashed potatoes and white turkey. I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't want no more. I don't want nothing. Once I go to your house and I see walnuts and grape nuts, and I got this recipe from the pilgrims, cactus and octopus blood in the stuffing. I got to go.
Hey.
That's why I have my wife make that early. So when we go out tomorrow night, there's no misunderstanding. So she always go to people's houses. They want, don't we put pork chops? One year we went from somebody's house, they put a turkey with a fucking pig in a fucking lizard's ass. What did they do that? Tredunkin?
Oh, yeah, Tredunkin.
They put a fucking they put a duck in a fucking turkey with sausage.
Yeah.
And I saw that dark meat from the duck. Oh, my God. That's the year I cried. That was the worst. Yeah. I'm telling you, I didn't talk to Stacey for 8 months, dog. 8 months.
I had a Thanksgiving with some friends. We usually do family, and we did a friends thing this year. And we go over there, and I bring two turkeys. We go to Ralph's. I got my two turkeys. I spent $50 one time. I went back the next day. I spent $50. I got two turkeys. Bring them over the house. Stick them in the oven. We spend the day together. They serve the meal. Too much food. There's not that many people show up. There's an untouched turkey at the end of the meal. We go to leave, and we're waiting for a plate. And they give us some mashed potatoes, some sweet potatoes, some Brussels sprouts. And I think there must be another plate because there's no turkey on here. And they didn't offer any turkey. They kept the turkey, kept the whole fucking thing. Sent us home with nothing. And I didn't talk to that guy for a little while.
Fucking savages. So that was the guy from Irvine.
Yeah.
The general manager. His name is Dan. He used to run Bryant.
Yeah, he's back and forth now.
But it's hysterical. Ever since we've been going with this deal back and forth, I kept telling him, listen, I don't want no fucking drama. I'm showing up with two Jews with calculators that night to count the chairs. You guys say there's 500 chairs in there, but there's really 581. And that one, that's 20 fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, they don't understand. People don't understand, you know. So this morning I called him. I'm like, not only do I have one, I got three Jews going down there. It's like a fucking three-camera shoot. You know what I'm saying? I got clickers coming from everywhere. And those numbers better match up, cocksucker.
Yeah, right.
He called back to say, I don't care if you have people with clickers down there. So now we got them sweating. We got the guy with the clicker down there. So you got to do those fucking people. You gotta...
I did a club in Florida. I won't say which club. And, the contract said 340. Was in maximum capacity because just so people know, we get paid bonuses when we hit sellouts. And the sellout then should be, according to the contract, 340 seats. That's what it says is the maximum in the room. I get there. The place is almost completely full. They tell me the next night I didn't hit the bonus. I go, let's go count the chairs right now, because I counted 435 chairs. You said 350. That's 85. You're telling me there was 85 empty chairs last night? And it, oh, it starts fucking stuttering. And yeah, we don't have to count the chairs. You know, sometimes we add chairs when they were left over from last week. Give me the bonus and we're good. So he gave me the bonus.
Sure.
But can you imagine 80 fucking chairs they're trying to pretend aren't there?
That's so you guys know at home that it's not just a catwalk. We show up there and they want to give you your money. Even at the end, they give you fucking fake figures.
Yeah.
That's why I'm bringing Jew tonight. Fucking my main fucking jewel with it.
You coming down late?
Oh, yeah. He's got that fucking eye of debt.
I've got three clickers in my pocket.
This motherfucker could see a penny under a carpet. He's got 3D vision. He just looks at the room and he closes his eyes and tells me a number. And he's five off. That's how good this motherfucker is.
So you do stand up at all, or you just hang out? You just hang out at the show?
I don't really go to shows that often. I go to shows locally, but
yeah,
just do this, the podcast.
You're gonna have a ride down to Irvine tonight, kids.
It's gonna be
Thanksgiving.
Fun.
I'm saying traffic wise, Thanksgiving Wednesday, driving down the 405 at what 6:30?
6:30.
Oh.
Can we take the 5? Is it possible?
It doesn't matter what you take. You're staring at a fucking bumper. You're gonna have your Waze out, your Waze app out, trying to tell you some magical route to take. There's no way to take. Get in line.
Listen, we got the vaporizer.
Right.
We got the.
You put on Fitzdog radio. You listen to a couple episodes.
We got a full tank of gas. That's it. On a mission from God.
All right, you got a lot to talk about.
Isn't that what he says?
We got a half a tank of gas, a full pack of cigarettes. It's dark out, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
And we're on a mission from fucking God, Lisa. Yeah, let me do the sponsors and get the fuck out of here. That's it. It's a beautiful fucking day, man. Hey, man, from the bottom of the church's heart, I know Greg feels the same way. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody who watches the show, who listens.
We're thankful for you.
We're thankful for you, believe it or not. And I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. That I went to the gym this morning and I wore my MeUndies. I don't know if you people know dick about MeUndies, but let me break it down for you, all right? MeUndies are these underwear that are as comfortable as can be. And I hate traditional white underwear. That's why I went commando after years. But once I established MeUndies, I went back to wearing underwear, especially when I go to the gym. Because when you usually go to jiu-jitsu and stuff and you're wrestling,
yeah, you want some nuts, underwear on.
Your fucking nut pops out. And then you got to wrestle with a nut out. You know how many times I squished my nut? I don't need that aggravation in my life. I'm sick and tired of that white thing. You know, I want my fucking underwears to be comfy. I don't even know where to start, to be honest with you. But if you don't just want to wear underwear comfy, you want to wear the world's most comfortable underwear. That's where MeUndies comes in, all right? Every pair of MeUndies is made with micro mold fabric. Which doesn't sound sexy, but once you feel MeUndies, you'll never go back to regular old underwear again. With MeUndies, you'll feel more comfortable than ever before. MeUndies has a ton of different colors to choose from. It's the only place where you find styles for both men and women, mix and match, plus they change designs every month. And with the holidays around the corner, oh shit, MeUndies is coming to your fucking mailbox, all right? Now, trust me, these are not your parents' stocking stuffers. Do me a favor. Let's start from the scratch. Go to MeUndies.com right now. Take a look at the great selection of underwear, men's T-shirts, long underwear.
Buy some women's underwear. Throw those on. Underwear. It's Saturday night.
That's right. What do you care? You know, take a chance.
Come They're on, soft. This. They're probably comfortable.
They're soft as hell. This is the best pair of underwear you ever have. But don't fucking try. You know, whatever. Go to MeUndies.com right now. This is what I'm going to offer you. Right now for the holidays, I'm going to give you 20% off your first order, plus all the orders in U.S. and Canada. Boom, on the cuff, on the arm. We even have a money-back guarantee in MeUndies. So if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, you get to keep them in a full refund. 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 I don't even know what refund is. Refund. Refund. So I'm sorry about that. So you have nothing to lose. Order before December 13th, and your MeUndies will arrive before Christmas. Again, order before the 13th, and you'll get them before Christmas. And for the first 20% off your first order of the world's most comfortable underwears, go to MeUndies.com/Joey. That's MeUndies.com/Joey. You're not going to be sorry. They're great underwear. Listen, last week I didn't tell you about this, but let me drop it on you right now. A lot of you people, you're fucking lonely. You're a half a month. You don't know what to do with your life. You know? You know, you work all fucking day, and the last thing you want to do after work is go stand in a line. You know, you go to some fast food joint, and you got to go home and cook some complicated meal, and it's expensive. Unhealthy takeout is even any better. That's where a new service, Blue Apron, comes in. Blue Apron delivers farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your home, allowing you to create a healthy, handcrafted meal without going to the grocery store. Bro, that comes right to your door. It's phenomenal. It comes in a box, it's refrigerated, and it's for less than $10. Blue Apron sends you fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned, I mean to the fucking tea. All you got to do is put them in there. It makes cooking more healthy, and it's easy and fun. No trips to the grocery store. No, you forgot this, I forgot that, nothing. Everything is in that box, all right? And you don't waste no time with unused ingredients, plus you learn how to cook. Who's better than you? You learn with specialty ingredients that are normally hard to find. Blue Apron is perfect for date night. You meet some chick at the mall. You want to get it back to your place. You want to seduce her. Fucking, how do you want to get to her pants? Through food. Boom! There you go. It's perfect for a date night, cooking with friends. And they even offer family plans with kid-friendly ingredients. So if your kid's a half a schmo and he's allergic to peanuts, fuck him. We got something that'll take care of him. So the whole family can eat well and have fun preparing meals together. Each balanced meal is 500 to 700 calories per serving. And this food is tasty as hell, man.
Was that on their suggested delicious line?
Let me tell you what they got next week.
Fuck.
It's
Thanksgiving.
They got chili rub steak next week. They got crispy crap catfish ramen. All right, that's what they got next week. The family plan, they got seared cod with garlic, ginger rice, and they got, listen to this, pork chops with mostarda, sweet potatoes with walnuts, and blue cheese on them.
I'm getting hungry.
I'm telling you, Blue Apron don't mess around. Each meal is 500 to 700 calories per serving. I'm not telling you this. And they don't send the same meal twice. So listen, I know you're busy, bop, 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 bop. You get home. Next thing you know, you're ordering shit food. No more. They work around your schedule and dietary preferences. And Blue Apron experts source only the best seasonal ingredients for incredible meals. Like I told you, who's better than you? When was the last time you cooked a chili rub steak? When was the last time you cooked a seared cod with garlic ginger rice? Never. So give it a shot. You're going to cook incredible meals, and you'll be blown away by the quality and the freshness. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you for Christmas. Uncle Jerry, right now, I'm going to give you two meals on the arm for free, gratis. Go to blueapron.com/Joey. My treat, I'm telling you. Two meals on me when you go to blueapron.com/Joey, all right? Also, on it, always on it. You're traveling. Shroom Tech Immune. You want more conditioning when you do aerobics or you want to breathe better. Shroom Tech Sport. You want to make a protein powder that doesn't, you know, you don't need 50 grams of protein. Your body can assimilate it. Two scoops of hemp protein. 32 grams of protein. But listen, who the fuck am I to sit here and tell you what's crack-a-lockin'? Go to honest.com right now and press in.
Church.
Boom! And get 10% off your first order. And they have the Stay On It program. They also have kettlebells and supplements. They have an array of great things. But listen, who the fuck am I to tell you? Go to honest.com right now and take a look at the superb list of supplements they have available to you right now. That's honest.com. So again, happy Thanksgiving. I want to reach out to Blue Apron, on it, and MeUndies, and thank them for supporting the show, and my main man, Greg Fitz, for coming on and having a blast with us here tonight.
Thanks, brother. Happy holidays.
That was
to
a
you.
Fucking blast.
And you, Lee.
Thanks, brother. I laughed my ass off today. I haven't laughed that hard in a long fucking time. And real laughing, not that fake fucking TV shit you people are used
that
to.
That fucking kid flying in the window in Animal House.
Drop it on him, Lee Syed.
This show is brought to you by Blue Apron.
He sounds like he's in Pakistan giving a hostage message.
Look at this fucking.
They got a rifle to his head. Say it. Say it, infidel.
Blue Apron sends gourmet recipes and all the fresh ingredients you need to make them right to your door. Our listeners get their first two meals for free. Just go to blueapron.com/Joey and start cooking incredible meals at home with Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com/Joey.
Look at the camera when you're talking.
Take your time, Leah. Don't worry about nothing. We got all fucking night.
We do. This show is also brought to you by MeUndies.com. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey. I'm here under my own free will. I promise.
How are you going to drive to Irvine?
I'm not. You're driving to Irvine.
You're the Captain Kirk of the Enterprise.
No, I'm not.
All I know is give me a 20-minute head start.
I'm Captain Kirk of the Uber then. Okay. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and look at all their great world's most comfortable underwear at MeUndies.com/Joey. Every pair of MeUndies is made with micro modal fabric, which doesn't sound sexy, but once you feel your MeUndies, you'll never go back to old underwear again.
Did you just read all this?
Yes.
I don't know why he's doing this.
I don't know.
Why are you doing the whole thing?
Close the show, Lee. Close the goddamn show, will you, for Christ's sake?
Okay.
Thank MeUndies, thank On It, and thank the other people, and let's boogie with Stu, for Christ's fucking sake.
Cool.
You're lullabying these people to death. And get out of here and go get that turkey before 6 o'clock. That's it. No more fucking around today.
God, Ralph's bringing you Thanksgiving year after year.
That's right. They give you a free turkey if you drop the short 100 today. Go in there and tell them. Oh, shit. Happy Thanksgiving, cocksuckers. Didn't he just say that? Lee. The beauty of it was, he goes, didn't he just say that? And he goes, I don't know. Happy Thanksgiving. You're fucking hilarious.
24 hours. Baby, sometimes living the day. Choice I love.